let's just take a moment to pray before we look at the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. Father, we thank you for your written Word, Lord, that it nourishes us, it builds us up, it strengthens us, it encourages our faith. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Father, we esteem your Word today. We set aside the distractions of life for this time, and we ask you, Lord, the Spirit of God, come and teach us and lead us and guide us in truth. We thank you for revelation, knowledge, and wisdom. Father, I thank you that you'll meet needs this morning. Father, whatever the needs are in people's hearts, I thank you that the Spirit of God will speak to those needs. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that wisdom will come, direction will come, answers will be made available. And we thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God is well able to talk to us about things in our life. And we thank you today for your Word. We thank you that it's going to direct us and lead us in truth. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd like you to open up to the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We've been talking about the vision of our church. We said that there are three words that define us as a people. And again, our vision is not just something that we put on the bulletin. It describes who we are. We're people that reach out to lost and hurting people. We are people that grow spiritually, and we are people that love God and love others. And we're talking this morning about growing up spiritually. I want to give you three keys that are going to help you grow spiritually. They are simple things, but they are powerful if you'll put them into action in your life. There is so much we could say on this subject of growing up spiritually, but I believe that these three keys will help you. Let me just give you the keys. Walking in humility, having an attitude of victory, and the abiding Word. We think these three keys, these three characteristics will help you to grow up spiritually. Ephesians, the fourth chapter in verse 14, it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We know that the Bible tells us that God wants us to grow up spiritually. We have a responsibility to develop ourselves, our spiritual walk with God. We have to learn how to grow spiritually. When we talk about spiritual growth, many times people say, "Where should we begin?" I think the best place to start is with your attitude. You know, attitude is everything. We have to be teachable. Say teachable. We have to be teachable. If we're going to grow, what is that? Think about growing spiritually. If you're going to grow, it means that you're going to move from the place that you are today and come up higher. So that means there are things that you might not be doing today that you're going to have to begin to do to grow. There are things that you might not know today that you're going to have to learn to know so that you can grow. You want to lift off of where you are. You want to grow up spiritually. So we understand that you have to be teachable. You have to be teachable. Choose to be a lifelong learner. I don't know about you, but the more I read the scriptures and the more I know about God, the more I realize how much I don't know. And I don't mean that to be a negative confession. God is just so vast. His Word is so deep. You think about scriptures that you learned as a child, and now as you're older, you read that same scripture and you learn more from it. And you glean more truth from it. It's because you're growing spiritually. And God wants us to grow and develop and mature, come to understand who we are in Christ Jesus, come to understand the deep things of God. But we have to choose to be teachable. We have to be open. We have to be teachable and be humble. You know, part of being teachable is humility. We have to be humble. Recognize that you don't know everything. Anybody know everything? No, we don't know everything. 1 Corinthians 13 says we know in part. But that doesn't mean that we're going to not pursue truth. It just means that we don't know everything. And we're constantly learning. The Spirit of God is constantly talking to us, showing us things, leading us, guiding us in truth. We need to be teachable. We have to have humility and be open. You know, the word humility means freedom from pride or arrogance. We don't want to have any pride or arrogance when it comes to the Word of God. Having humility, knowing that you can still learn some things. You might be a believer for 30 or 40 years. You know what? There's still something new to learn. There's still more to glean from the Spirit of God. I remember a Bible school teacher would talk about, I love to have a good steak, but just because I have one steak doesn't mean I won't have another one down the road. We might read a scripture and say, oh, I've heard that before. Well, just because you've heard it before doesn't mean it's not good, and we should feast on it, and we should ask the Spirit of God, is there something that would apply to my life? Is there something that I didn't see before? Show me, open that truth to me so that I can come up higher. I want to come up higher. I want to grow spiritually. Having humility, knowing that you can still learn some things, being hungry for spiritual truths. You know, we shouldn't be argumentative. We shouldn't have to prove to people that we're right about things and that we know more than others. That's pride. That's being unteachable. That's not what God is calling us to be. When you act like that, when you talk that way, you're walking in pride. And the Bible tells us that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. We want to make sure that we're hungry, that we're teachable, that we're open, that the Spirit of God can speak to us, and that we're teachable. That's such an important thing when we talk about growing spiritually. In order to grow, you'll need to be taught, and being teachable and learning will take humility. Keep your attitude in check. Keep your attitude in check. Keep your heart right and be teachable. Don't approach the Word of God. Oh, I know that story. Oh, I've heard that before. I've heard a sermon on that before. I know all about that. No, you don't. No, you don't. There's always more to learn. And be teachable. Be humble. Be open. The second characteristic, or the second key to help us grow spiritually, is having an attitude of victory. Having an attitude of victory. I remember when I was in Bible school, you know, I would attend prayer school every day. After school, they would have prayer school, and the students would just get together, and we would pray for a couple hours. And at first I thought, oh, that's going to be hard, praying for a couple hours. But after attending for a while, those couple hours would just fly by. It would feel like 2 minutes. But, you know, one thing that they always said, that prayer is more... more caught than rather taught. Prayer is more caught than taught. You need to catch the spirit of things. You need to be around other people who know how to pray. Catch the spirit of things. And I say that to say that about the Word as well. Catch the spirit of the Word. We're not looking to be legalistic. We're not looking to be rigid in our thinking. We're not looking to be letter of the law. We're looking for the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Certainly there is a right and wrong when it comes to the Word, but we need to have this right attitude when we approach the Word. When you learn how to pray, you can learn the mechanics of prayer. You can learn the principles of prayer through the Scriptures, but one of the best ways to learn how to pray is by doing it. You doing it. The more you do it, the more you learn about it. The more you practice it. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. He is your teacher. He is your guide. When you got born again, you are born of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is the teacher of the church. Spiritual growth comes in your life when you see from the Word that you are to have an attitude of victory. God is a God of victory. God is a God of victory. Say that. God is a God of victory. Never in the Scriptures do we see God in a bad mood. Never in the Scriptures do we see that God is depressed. Never in the Scriptures do we see that God is in a situation where He is failing. God is a God of victory. His promises are always yes and amen. All throughout the Bible, God talks about victory. God wants you to have a victorious life. He wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you to be on the top and not the bottom. He wants you to know His will. He wants to lead you and guide you in truth. He wants to steer your life around problems, around situations, so that you don't have to go through all the negative things of life. And even if you do go through the negative things of life, He promises to deliver you. He promises to bring you up. He promises to put your feet on solid ground. And so no matter what happens in your life, God's always talking about your victory. He's always talking about victory. I believe that all believers need to develop an attitude of victory, that you're an overcomer, that things are changeable. You are never without hope because God is in your life. No matter what you face in this natural life, God is on your side. The Bible says He's for you and not against you. He is working with you. If you'll listen, if you'll be open, He will lead you up. He will lead you out if you will pay attention, if you'll be open and have a right attitude and have a teachable heart. God will do great things in your life. He didn't call you to live a life that's down and out and miserable and depressed and discouraged all the time. He wants you to be on the top. He wants you to go from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And no matter where you are in your course with God, He can bring you up. He can bring you up to the next level if you'll be teachable, if you'll change your attitude, if you'll have an attitude of victory. There's always plenty of things in life to complain about. And if you give your attention and you give your focus to all the negative things in your life, that's where you will live. My life is hard. My life is difficult. I have this sickness. I have this problem. I have these adversities. I have all these things against me. I'm so discouraged. I'm so depressed. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm weary. I don't want to do this anymore. If that's where your thinking is, if that's where your focus is, that is where you're going to live. And you'll go from misery to misery to misery. But that's not where God's called you to live. God says to put your thoughts above. Put your thoughts on Him. We read here in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." Set their minds on the things of the flesh. "But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." You're supposed to put your mind on the things of the Spirit. On the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. More victory. More victory. More victory. Life and peace. Doesn't life and peace sound good to you? Life and peace. We're supposed to be spiritually minded. If you're a believer, you are never without hope. You are never without hope or a way to get an answer because you have a God who loves you. You have a God who cares about you. 1 John 5:4 tells us, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. God has made us victorious. God has made a way out of the troubles of this life. And we don't have to sit back and complain and grumble and be miserable all the days of our life. Some people say, "Well, I'm just passing through this life. I can't wait to get to heaven where there'll be no more trouble." You don't have to wait to get to heaven to have no more trouble. You can have joy in the midst of troubles here. You can have joy in the midst of adversities here if you'll allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart. If you'll change your thinking, if you'll change your attitude, God will allow joy to rise up on the inside of you. You'll have peace. You'll have life. All those things will come when you change your thinking and your attitude. The Bible says that you are an overcomer. Remember, 1 John says that you are an overcomer. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The God that is on the inside of you is greater than anyone else, greater than your enemy, greater than anything else in this world. You know, the devil has lost his authority. The enemy has lost his power. He has lost his anointing. And he has no power over a believer. You are the one with the power. You are the one with the authority, and you are the one with the anointing. You are. And you're an overcomer in this life. The problem is too many of us don't know that. We don't know those things. We don't think about those things. We're ignorant about those things. And so we just shuffle through life trying to get through. But the Bible says you're an overcomer. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. God has given you authority through His Word. And you have an anointing on the inside of you. Anointing that breaks yokes and delivers the lost. You have the power of God at your access. And we're overcomers. But we need to start thinking that way. We need to start renewing our mind that way. It doesn't mean that you never have an opportunity to get discouraged or weary, but you have to remind yourself of who you are. Remind yourself of who Christ Jesus is and how you are in Him. You have to remind yourself that God has given you the victory. God has given you the victory. Now, how do we develop this attitude of victory? Through the Word of God, which brings us to our third key or our third characteristic of spiritual growth, the abiding Word. Say the abiding Word. The abiding Word. I'm not talking about just taking a Bible verse and saying, okay, done. The abiding Word. The abiding Word. What does that word abide? It means to stay. It means to dwell. It means to live. It means to be present. To be present. The abiding Word, the Word of God, has to abide, to live, to dwell, to remain, to last, to be present in your life. The abiding Word, the abiding Word. John 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done for you. God's abiding Word on the inside of you will give you victory in this life. The abiding Word. The Bible says that we overcome in this life by our faith or by our beliefs. And we know that Romans tells us that faith or beliefs come by hearing and hearing the Word of God. We know that it comes from the Word, and we have to go back to the Word. God desires that His words abide in you. Think about that a minute. God gave us direction. He said, let my words abide in you. The abiding Word is deposited in your heart so that the Spirit of God can bring it back to your remembrance when you need it. The abiding Word. The abiding Word. The abiding Word is in your heart. It's not something that you've read once and not sure where you can recall it or what it meant or what it said. It's the abiding Word, that Word that you know in your heart. The abiding Word is the truth that you know in your heart. And so many people, you know, well, I don't know. I don't know much of the Bible. I don't know where the verses are. You know the truth. You know some truth already. How many of you know that Jesus is the Son of God? That is a truth. That is an abiding truth that you keep in your heart. No one can talk you out of it. No one can take it from you. You have that truth in your heart. You know it to be true. You've sensed His presence in your life. You've prayed and you know that God is real. You have an abiding truth that Jesus is the Son of God. The abiding Word is not something that you just casually read. It's something that you know in your heart. Take, for example, salvation. You know that you're saved. We have the promise of eternity. We have the promise of heaven. How many of you know that in your heart? You might not know exactly where the Bible verse is, but you put that into your heart. You put that in there, and you know that you're on your way to heaven when you close your eyes here in this earth. You know that heaven is real. You know that God is real. You have that abiding truth on the inside of you. The Bible tells us to put on the armor of light. You know, we're supposed to be light in this world. I think of the scriptures. When you get into the scriptures and you get into the Word, it will begin to separate you. It'll begin to separate you from this world and this world system. It'll separate your thinking. It will become logical and normal to follow after God. You know, sometimes when we don't know much about God and we hear people talking about God, it doesn't seem logical, it doesn't seem normal to the average person because their mind is unrenewed. They don't know God. They don't understand his ways. They don't understand who he is. And it just seems so foreign. It seems so far away. But when you start putting that word on the inside of you and you start renewing your mind and you start becoming what the word says, it becomes very logical, meaning that isn't it normal to worship God? It just becomes who you are. It becomes, well, it's normal to be a giver. It's normal to spend some time in prayer. It's normal to chase after God. It's normal to want to be a worshiper of God. Your mind becomes renewed and you start to think like God thinks. And the things of the Spirit don't seem foreign to you. As a matter of fact, the more you move towards the things of the Spirit, the things of this world become foreign to you. They become, well, why would I ever do that? Or why I would never go there. I would never, that's not what I want. That becomes unnormal to you. The word has that way of separating you from this world and this world system. There is a progression to light. Your path gets brighter and brighter, the Bible says. We are the light in the darkness. And you know, and the enemy wants to do all that he can to keep you in the dark. He doesn't want you to know the truth. He doesn't want you to walk in the light. He doesn't want that word to abide in your heart because he knows once you do, he's done. He has no way in. He has nothing to deceive you about. What you deposit in your heart is the word of God. And you allow that word to dwell there. How do you let that dwell there? By thinking about it. By meditating on it. That word meditate means to mutter, to speak over and over, to think on, to chew on, like an animal would chew on the cud. You know, you chew on it. You think of that word. You chew on it. You know, sometimes when we're kids, we have a wad of bubble gum and you just start chomping away and you keep it in your mouth and you keep chewing on it and you blow bubbles and you chew on it and you chew on it and you chew on it and you chew on it. That's how we're supposed to be with the scriptures, keeping it in your mouth, enjoying the flavor of it. Thinking about it, blowing bubbles with it, having that word in your thought life and in your mouth. That's how it gets into your heart. That's how it gets in there. So when you deposit the word, it'll dwell in your heart. Remember last week we were talking about the importance of feeding yourself spiritually. That faith has to be fed. You have to have the word on a regular basis. You have to feed yourself spiritually. Just like we feed our physical body, we have to feed our spiritual body. And I can feed you here on Sunday, but I can't give you enough to survive for the whole week. You have to go home and feed yourself. You have to spend time in the Word. You have to spend time in worship and in prayer. You've got to feed yourself spiritually if you're going to have the Word on deposit. So that when the trials and the temptations of life and obstacles come, that word will just come up out of you. That word will just come up out of you and it will help you. It will rescue you. It'll give you direction. It'll give you wisdom. That word will lead you out of that trouble. It's the word that causes you not to fall. It's the word that will tell you what to do and how to produce victory in your life. You have to have that word. Nothing will substitute it. Nothing will substitute it. Well, you know, I heard a sermon earlier in the week, and that was good. You know, we sang a song that had a scripture in it. That was good, too. But that's not enough to feed you. That's not enough for you to have deposits of the abiding word. You have to get your nose in the book. You have to. There are no side steps. There are not six easy steps to avoid this. You have to do it. You have to put the words of God in your heart and mind every day. Every day. You know, how many of you have thoughts that are contrary to God every day? Is it just me? No one else has thoughts every day about something that's not right. We have them on a regular basis. But that doesn't mean we have to allow them to remain in us. We can use the word and get rid of those ungodly thoughts. But if you don't have the word in you, if you don't have a supply of the word coming in, that other garbage will just stay there. And you're not going to grow spiritually. You know, the Bible talks about renewing your mind. That's not a suggestion. That's not a suggestion. You need to renew your mind. You need to put the word in your heart. You need to have that word on deposit. If you're going to grow spiritually, this is how you do it. Having the word. That word will form that attitude of victory for you. That word will form, it'll help you keep your attitude in check so that you walk in humility. That word, you need to have that word there. Listen to what James says about this subject. James 1:21 says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." The Bible says that we're supposed to receive the implanted word that is able to save our souls. Our souls is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Your spirit man is already alive unto God. Your spirit man is already made new. It's your soul man that needs the help. And so you need to get an attitude of victory. You need to have that planted word, that engrafted word. It's able to save your soul. The abiding word can affect your soul man. It can change the way you think. It can change your will so that you follow after God. That engrafted word can help keep your emotions in check. You don't have to be an emotional train wreck. You don't have to be all over the place, out of control. The word can keep your emotions in check. You need to have that word on deposit. You need to get an attitude of victory. Let that victory come out of your mouth. Begin to see things as possible. Look for joy. Look for the pleasant things in your life. Look at what God is doing instead of what you're lacking. And have an expectation that God is supernaturally moving in your life. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, even in Christianity or the church, you know, some people focus on the cross. You go to some churches and they have a big cross up there and they have Jesus on it and he looks real sad and depressed. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for what Jesus did. Thank God for that Jesus went and paid the price. That cross that, you know, that he hangs on and he looks all sad there. Yes, it's true. Jesus did go to the cross and pay the price for sin, and we should be grateful. We should be respectful of that. But God doesn't want us to camp out at the cross. God doesn't want us to camp out at the, that's death. That's death. God doesn't want us just to camp out, oh, Jesus died, Jesus died, Jesus died, Jesus died, Jesus died. Yes, he did. But why did he die? So that you could have life. So that you could have life. So that you could have life. That's where your focus should be. That's where your focus should be. Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's risen. He is risen. Hallelujah. You can't talk about, you know, you can't focus on the death and focus on the negative parts and expect to walk in victory. You've got to have your thinking right. You've got to have your attitude right. We need to stop singing songs and praying prayers that talk about death and suffering. You know, we are the victorious church. He is alive forevermore. He is worthy to be praised. He is alive forevermore. And he endured all that suffering. He did. He took it. But you can't talk about the problems and you can't talk about the suffering and expect good success in your life. You've got to have an attitude of victory. You've got to get over on the victory side and speak victory. Speak in line with what he has given you. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's given us authority and power over the enemy. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have the victory in Jesus' name. So no matter what comes our way, no matter what happens in this life, whether we find ourselves in trouble or adversity or not, there's a way out. There's a way out. There's a way out, and it's through Christ. It's through Christ. But talking about the problems and thinking that you don't, thinking about things that you don't know and the things you can't change, it's only going to bring discouragement in your life. Well, you know, we're just old sinners. Just old sinners, yep. No, the Bible says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation. That old man has passed away. That old man has passed away. You were an old sinner, but now you're a new creation. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Train yourself to talk victory. Train yourself to talk victory because you have an automatic bend to speak the negative. And we need to overcome that. That's our flesh. We need to overcome that. We need to train ourselves to speak victory when it comes to spiritual things. Train yourself to think victory. Victory is contrary to the enemy's nature. The enemy wants you to live and think and talk defeat. He wants you to feel sorry for yourself. He wants you to have a pity party. He wants you to be miserable. He wants you to think life is too hard. And the devil doesn't want you to resist him. He doesn't want you to be an overcomer because he won't win. He won't win if you do those things. So how can we get the victory attitude? I want to take a look at one more scripture in Luke, the 8th chapter. This is the parable of the sower. In order to have a victory attitude, you're going to have to get it into the Word. Remember, it's not just hearing the Word, but it's believing the Word. It's believing and acting on it. Let's look here at the parable of the sower. In verse 11, Jesus is explaining to his disciples the meaning of the parable of the sower. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the Word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are those who receive the Word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those of a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and persevering produce a crop. The sower sows the word. The seed is the word. It's the seed that makes the difference. It's the seed that makes the difference and the way that they receive it. The Bible says in verse 12 that Satan comes immediately to steal that word so that they would not be victorious. Seeds, I love this passage because all of these people heard the word, all of them, but they all didn't produce with it. You could sit in church for 20 decades and hear the word, hear the word, hear the word, hear the word, hear the word. That doesn't mean that you're going to produce with it. You have to believe that word. You have to take hold of that word. And as the last part of that parable says, you have to retain that word. Hold on to it. When the enemy comes and tries to take it from you, you resist him. You resist him. You hold fast to that word. When the things of this life, they come and they try to choke out that word, you hold on to it. You hold on to that word. You don't allow things to distract you from the word. You have to purpose in your heart that you're going to be a doer, that you're going to hold on to the word, retain it, and produce with it. The enemy is trying to get that word out of your life. He's trying to get it out of your heart. He'll point to everything negative in your life. He'll remind you of things that you failed at. He'll remind you of that you're a nothing and a nobody and how hard life is and how you feel like quitting. That's what he does. A constant diet of that. He'll just come alongside and whisper those lies into your ear. You have to keep that abiding word in your heart. It's the word in your heart that you have to act upon that gives you the power to overcome in this life. It's the word. It's the word that abides in your heart and comes out your mouth. It's the word of God that makes the difference. John 10:10 tells us, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. You've got to have that word. The parable of the sower, they heard the word and it was choked out. We have to have that word on deposit. Don't allow that word to be choked out. Those that heard the word, they retain it and persevered with patience and produced a harvest. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's who we're called to be. Those that produced a harvest are the ones that held on to the word. That means when things went wrong in their life, they held on to the word. When they got a bad phone call, they held on to the word. When they looked at their checkbook, They held on to the word. When they go through difficulties in relationships, they hold on to the word. You have to retain God's word. You have to retain it. One of my favorite scriptures, Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you faint not. Don't be weary retaining the word. Don't be weary resisting the enemy. Don't be weary keeping that word on deposit, because you're going to overcome. You're going to be victorious, because God is greater than anything in your life. God is greater than anything in this life. And you are an overcomer. And you will overcome if you keep that word on deposit. Don't give in to the garbage of this life. Don't give in to the lies of the enemy. The Bible tells us right up front how he's going to come. He's going to come with riches and pleasures and distractions. He's going to come and try to steal that word. He's going to try to take it from you so it doesn't produce. What's your job? You hold on to it. You retain it. You keep it in your heart. You keep it. You hold on to those truths and those beliefs so that no matter what happens in this life, you'll get through it because you have the truth of God's word. Amen. When the enemy comes and knocks on your door and he tells you, I'm coming to take that word, you need to say, oh, no, you're not. You're too late. It's already working. It's already working. The word is already working in my heart and in my mouth. It's changing things. I'm already walking in the victory. It's mine. I have it now in Jesus' name. You've got to be aggressive. You've got to be a stand your ground where it comes to the enemy, because he'll try to run you over. Amen. Let's stand up. I want to pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we want to grow spiritually. We want to grow up spiritually, God. Lord, we're asking you to help us. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us to grow and develop. Help us to walk in humility. Help us to have a teachable heart, God. Lord, if there's anything in us right now that's prideful or argumentative or we have to prove to others that we're right about things all the time, Lord, we repent from that stuff. Lord, we lay down pride and we just say that we're teachable. We're hungry. We're hungry for more of you, God. Lord, teach us, lead us and guide us. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you can lead us and help us, God, grow spiritually. We walk in humility. We have a teachable spirit. Father, forgive us for our bad attitudes, Lord. If we've given in to self-pity, if we've given in to defeat and discouragement, Lord, forgive us, God. Lord, help us to look to you. Help us to develop a victory attitude. Help us to look for the good. Help us to see things as possible and changeable. God, help us to deposit more and more of your word in our hearts. Help us to abide in your word and see things as possible. Lord, help us to retain that word. When the enemy comes to steal it, Lord, help us to resist him. Help us to stand fast, holding fast to the truth. And Lord, help us to be reminded that we are overcomers. Father, we thank you for victory. We thank you for the good things. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're overcomers in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thanks be unto God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.